This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Seth, I'm not going to lie. Just looking at a lineup, being out for a game that we're going to today has me very excited.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Ooh.
The Astros lineup is out. We get our first look at Mauricio Dubon batting leadoff at second base. I doubt he'll bat leadoff in the regular season. I believe the left fielder, Jose Altuve, will do that. But Isak Paredes batting second at third base. Christian Walker, we're going to get a look at our new guys early here, man. Christian Walker batting third at first base. Old Yiner getting a little DH run. Little Caratini at catcher. And in the outfield, Gamel right field, McCormick left field, Jake Meyer center field.
Oh, you got to get that ranginess in
Let's
there.
Let's go.
With Guillorme.
Guillorme at shortstop. No Jeremy
Blanco
Pena.
Blanco pitching, of course.
Yeah, no Jeremy Pena today. So, yeah, Blanco pitching. Yeah, we'll see a few of the other guys as well. So this will be fun, man. Yeah, just seeing the lineup here gets me very excited.
So the guys I'm most excited about seeing today, Paredes and Walker, obviously.
Yeah.
Diaz, just because, hey, big every year will be a big year for Diaz, but I think Diaz has kind of been lost in the shuffle in terms of the guys that actually did some really good things last year.
And the attention they're getting.
Yeah, but you're fixated on a couple of the glitches that he has as a catcher, mostly in his pitch framing, but doing a lot of other things really well defensively as a catcher. So I'm excited to see Diaz, mostly because I feel like I've neglected him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chaz McCormick. The Chaz McCormick and what he does at the plate this year. Can he look more like he did in his first three seasons than he did last year?
No doubt. Yeah, debuts. These are the debuts. All these other guys have played other than Paredes and Christian Walker. This is their debut for the Astros here in spring training. So we'll have eyes on it today, man.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. That'll be fun.
It's a beautiful day.
Beautiful.
It's going to be fun.
Get
out and get some baseball in our blood,
indeed.
Sean.
Indeed. Circling back over to the Texans. By the way, be listening in the 9 o'clock hour. Your next chance to win tickets to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. John Pardee tickets is what we're giving away in the next hour. Stephon Diggs, this will be a discussion point until Stephon Diggs winds up signing somewhere. One strong voice saying, bring him back, got to bring him back. Marcus Spears, ESPN, says, got to bring him back.
Marcus Spears, Houston doesn't have a ton of cap room. How much should they prioritize bringing back Diggs?
I think it should be a heavy priority. Tank Dell would have been that guy. Obviously, the injury history is something that you have to pay attention to. You also think about the way that Stephon Diggs plays the receiver position. A very, very coordinated wide receiver, understands routes, understands how to get in and out of breaks. And you couple that with C.J. Stroud's ability to be a precision passer, I think it's a great combination. Obviously, we know Nico Collins is the number one guy on that football team, but to have a complimentary two like a Stephon Diggs, who at one time we was in the conversation for being the best wide receiver in the NFL, I definitely think that they should explore it.
Okay, so he went from they definitely got to do it to they definitely got to explore it.
Yeah.
They're definitely exploring it. I don't think he has to worry about that. So depending on what Marcus Spears' standard was for how the Texans should be operating, they're already doing, as the standard got lower and lower towards the end of that sentence, they're definitely exploring it. Okay, they were a better offense with Stephon Diggs than
yes.
they were without him. And everything that Marcus Spears just talked about right there is 100% true. Stephon Diggs could get separation. He could get separation quickly. So in a year where the offensive line and the pass protection in general, because I got to include the tight ends and the running backs in that, was so abysmal, it was a viable option a lot of times for CJ when he had to get rid of the ball quickly or when he was under duress. And they were a better football team when Stephon Diggs was in there. So, but having said all that, he is also 1 year older and coming off of an ACL. So all of those things that Marcus Spears mentioned about the positives are 100% true last year. I don't know what he's going to offer in terms of all of that this year. When you talk about a guy whose shiftiness and his short area speed is one of his strengths, how much of that does he have? And the savvy is great, but it's not going to bail you out of trouble the way that it did last year necessarily. Hopefully CJ doesn't have as much trouble in terms of pass protection this year, but I don't think it's a gotta have him type of situation.
The thing about Diggs, because I was thinking about their record. He got hurt in week 8. They won that game. That was a Colts game. They were 6-2 in games where Stephon Diggs played. They were 4-5 in the regular season after he was gone. So without him, they were a middling, mediocre football
right,
team.
And that's just the wins and losses. As an offense, they dropped dramatically. They were just kind of they weren't doing great when he was in there, but they were one of the worst offenses in the league over the second half of the season.
Correct. This is what I wonder, independent of how bad they were offensively, 3 of the next 4 games after he got hurt, the Texans lost 3 of the next 4 games. They lost that Jets game on Thursday night with just an abysmal performance on both sides in the second half of that game. The defense wasn't good in the second half either. They didn't get any help from the offense. Then in week 10 was the game that they blew the 23-7 halftime lead against the Lions. Then they beat the Cowboys in week 11. And then in week 12 was that horrible loss to the Titans. And I do start to think just things, Seth, and I know it's totally like, this is the most non-analytical thing ever, but I just wonder, like, having Diggs on the sideline for any of those games that they lost that were just horrible losses, just having him down there to get up in somebody's grill, if that changes one of those 3 games, you know what I mean?
Give him some Alex Bregman type advice.
Something. I mean, those 3 losses were the loss to the Jets, the loss to the Lions, and the loss to the Titans were 3 of the worst kind of losses you can experience. You let a team up off the mat in the Jets whose season was floundering and floundered after that, too.
Yeah.
That was their only bright spot all year, was that win over the Texans in that second half that Aaron Rodgers played. You blew a lead against one of the best teams, the best team in football at that time, I think a lot of people thought, in the Lions. Couldn't score in the second half. And then the Titans game, and by the way, in a game where you picked off Jared Goff 5 times, and then the Titans game, you sacked Will Levis 8 times and had a pick 6 and still didn't do enough offensively to win that game. Like, I just wonder, in games that literally your percentage chance you should have lost that game is something like is less than 10%, if having Diggs there for those games doesn't somehow, just having him down there with them.
And you want to know, you're like, boiling it down to wins and losses isn't always fair, because obviously there's 3 different phases of football.
Yeah.
But the old standard used to be, okay, you got to score at least 24 points in a game. You got to score at least 24 points in a game for your offense to give you a winning effort. That's probably been tweaked up to like 25 or 26 points, really. I mean, from the Jets game on, 9 games there, they only scored more than 23 points twice. It was against the Cowboys and the Titans, which was a loss.
And both of those games had defensive touchdowns
right,
in them.
Right, yeah. So the offense didn't score 24 points. The Titans game, they didn't. So they scored more than 23 points once over that final stretch of games.
It was a Cowboys game.
Yeah.
Right, against a bad team.
They had one where you look at it as like, okay, yeah, that's a potentially winning effort by the offense.
That's a great way to frame it. A depressing way to frame it, but a great way to frame it for sure.
So where I would put it is there's definitely, obviously, more than just one position, your second wide receiver. They need to improve in more areas than just that. But it does point out how important that second guy can be and why I think that it probably comes through the draft this year.
Yeah.
I think I had a really hard time answering earlier when you asked about whether, who was it? It was between Golden
and Booker.
And Booker, yeah. The Devin Booker, the offensive lineman.
Tyler Booker, excuse me.
I had a really hard time deciding because I don't want to be overly dramatic about their need to flesh out that wide receiving core, and yet if they don't do something to address it, either in free agency mm-hmm. or the draft, I think it would be gross negligence.
Yeah, I think the one thing we learned from Nick Caserio last week when we had him on, when it comes to Diggs, was that I don't think anything has happened that's been unexpected as far as other than the ACL tear. Obviously, yeah. Nobody was expecting that. But as far as like how Stephon and the Texans both have treated his contractual journey, that any sort of focus on that Monday, February 17th date was probably overblown, and it sounded like that both sides expected him to hit free agency.
It was
eventually.
A one-year deal.
It was a one-year deal.
I mean, I would imagine they maybe had a brief conversation about it. Maybe that Caserio said, hey, Caserio may have said to the agent, hey, you know, if you guys want to work something out, we're here for you. Yep. You know, we'd like to, but I don't think the Texans felt like they wanted to be in a position of being aggressive about it.
Yeah, I don't think.
And that's pure speculation on my part.
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't think any feathers are ruffled on either side.
No.
Like, I think both sides are ready for whatever the future holds.
It was intended to be a 1-year deal.
Yes.
And I don't think the Texans felt like, okay, this is going to be our avenue to reel him back in. Now, if the season had gone differently and he was healthy, they might have been a lot more aggressive in trying to extend him.
Maybe so. Yeah, maybe so. All right. Be listening the next hour. Chance to win tickets to see John Pardee live at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. He plays Thursday, March 13th. Rodeo ticket Tuesday all day long here on Sports Radio 610. All right, we mentioned the top 101 players on Pro Football Focus yesterday at about this time. The Texans had five guys in the top 101. Who could crack the list next season for the Texans? How many of these guys need to crack the list for the Texans to have the season that we want them all to have next year? That is coming up next.